الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. My dear brothers, on the subject of connecting with Allah, which we were talking about yesterday, two points. Yesterday I mentioned the importance of tahajjud which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the resource. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to all the Anbiya, which is to connect with Him. Even with Musa alayhi salam, when he got Nubuwwat, the first hukum that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'abudini wa aqimi salata li dhikri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am Allah and there is no one worthy of worship except me, so establish salah for my dhikr, for my remembrance. So the salah, especially tahajjud, and of course the other salawat which are fard on us, these are the means of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that's very, very critical and important. But in order to be able to do that, like we clean the terminals before we connect two wires together, we clean the terminals of the battery before we connect the wires. Tawbah is a very essential element of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why that's something that I remind myself and you, is something that we should constantly do. There is no one who is free from mistakes, there is no one who is free from sins. The one who considers himself to be free from sins is in the greatest danger. The one who thinks I never made a mistake is in the greatest danger. Because the biggest danger for that person is the person who will not even make tawbah. Because he doesn't consider that he has made a mistake. So where is the question of tawbah? And that is the biggest danger. Because if we do things and we die without repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no turn back after that. Of course, I always, we know and we maintain that it is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do whatever He likes. But from what we know and what He told us and what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, if a person commits especially certain kinds of things, and especially if they are against people, from huququl ibad, then Allah does not forgive unless the person seeks forgiveness from the person who has been wronged. And we have the many hadith, but one of the most famous and most powerful is the hadith which I have mentioned many times before, which is when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, do you know who are the destitute? Who are the destitute, the fuqara in the ummah, among the people? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, according to us, the faqir, the destitute person, is the one who does not have any dinar and dirham. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. He said, the destitute person is the one who will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud, but there will be people that he wronged and people that he hurt and people that he insulted and backbited and killed and whose rights that this person usurped. And they will be a line of those people and they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for adl. And on the day of judgment, the currency is deeds. And this will be given to them. And then this will go on, it will continue to be given until that entire mountain of Uhud is finished. But the line of people will still be there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who knows everything, He will ask the people, He will say, this man has nothing now. Now what do you want me to do? And the people will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, give our evil to him. Give our evil deeds to him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people will go into Jahannam carrying the evil deeds of somebody else. We ask Allah to save us from that. And that is why it is very, very important for us to continuously make tawbah and get out of this false spin of shaitan that I never made a mistake. That's absolute rubbish. And the way of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through this, to ensure that we do not get into this position where we feel free from the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Because on that day, if we find ourselves in that position, may Allah save us from that, who are you going to go and ask? Who will you ask? Who is going to help you against the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why it is so critical and so important to continuously make tawbah and to actively seek the forgiveness of whoever you may have wronged. Whether that person forgives you or not is a different matter. As long as you have sought forgiveness sincerely, not to show or not to, you know, do one drama, but actually sincerely, if you sought forgiveness and if that person still does not forgive you, then Allah alam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept that seeking of forgiveness and forgive the person anyway. And do also remember that depending on what the kind of sin was, depending on what the kind of oppression was, in many cases, just saying sorry is not enough. If you have taken somebody's property, you need to return it. If you have done something to someone, you need to make amends. You can't swallow somebody's land and say, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to also make amends and, you know, try to. And the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, if we are in a position where we now realize that we have done something wrong and we need to make amends, but the person to whom we did wrong has died. So now what do we do? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give it back to the people who inherited from that person. So even if that person is not there, go and apologize to the heirs, give it back to that person. So it is important as far as tawbah with respect to huququl ibad is concerned that we also make amends and we, wherever that is applicable, we return. And that's the reason why this whole issue of ghibat and so on is so dangerous, because you don't even know how many people your ghiba, the one that you maligned, how far it has gone. So how many people are you going to go and clarify? This hadith of which I just mentioned to you, I remember when I first read it, I used to think to myself that how is it possible that somebody goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud, yeah, and all of those get exhausted, and then there is still a line of people. How is this possible? Because I mean, how can somebody be so evil that how many people in the world could a person possibly have wronged in your life, right? I mean, okay, you are a particularly bad creature and so you wronged a whole bunch of people. How many? I mean, 100, 200, you know, I mean, 1,000. I mean, how many people could you possibly have wronged? And here is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam giving example of a mountain of Uhud worth of good deeds. I said, how can it all disappear? Until one day it hit me that, just think about this, in today's world, you say something bad about someone and you put it into an email or you put it somewhere on Facebook or something. Now that thing has a life of its own, and that goes and it travels and it travels and it travels, and you will be dead and gone. 100 years later, the thing will still come back. Now all of that is on you because you started it. So it is entirely possible that one thing you do continues after you, long after you are dead even, because of what you started. And that's why this line of people, believe me, it is real. It is real. It's an example given by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is real. And that's why we must be very, very, very careful of what we say, what we do, whose rights we transgress. And if we find we have done that, and it's entirely possible, then immediately make amends, apologize. If you have taken something, give it back, whatever it is. Make sure that you clear your account in this world. Don't carry that into your grave. If you carry it into your grave, then it's big time trouble. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that and to enable us to connect with Him by allowing us to clean our nufus. And that's the whole issue of tazkiyatun nafs. Tazkiyatun Nafs is not to, you know, sit around with a tasbih or something and say Allah, Allah, Allah. No, Tazkiyatun Nafs is to focus on your nafs and see what is in my heart, how do I get this clean. And everyone has different things. I mean, not everyone has greed, for example. Right? Not everyone has hasad. Not everyone has, whatever. I mean, each one of us has our own personal illnesses. You know, like, you know, somebody has got a back pain, somebody has got a head pain. I mean, it's not everyone has the same thing. So similarly with the nafs, not everyone has the same problems. So it's very important for us to focus on our nafs, focus on our hearts, and ensure that those hearts are clean. That's why the great importance of a musleh, of someone to guide you, and may Allah give us all muslihin who can guide us, who know how to diagnose illnesses and how to treat them. But until we find that, the best musleh, the best guide is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because Allah knows our nafs better than we know it ourselves. So make rujoo ila Allah, go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take your problem to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah, ya Allah, what is wrong with my nafs? Please show me, please cure it. Make dua. I mean, nobody stops you from doing that. And inshallah al-musta'an, we have the expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we sincerely make dua, we make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it and He will help us inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.